We have a lengthy portion of scripture that we are going to read tonight, and I trust that it would be beneficial to all of you. I was kind of nervous again this afternoon as I began to put my notes down. You guys remember last week I couldn't do it because my tablet wasn't working with my keyboard. Well, I went ahead and went down this afternoon, turned everything on, it was still doing the same thing. And instead of panicking because that's what I do at times, I begin to panic. I just, you know what, I'm just going to relax here. So I further investigated, and I didn't realize it, but my Bluetooth connection was off. That's all it was. And how that happened, I don't know, because I don't get in those things. But we're connected tonight. We got all the notes on paper, so we're good to go. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be here tonight, to be under the preaching of your word. God, I pray that it would be a blessing in our hearts as we dive into it. Lord, I just want to thank you for the ones who went out yesterday, the ones who wanted to but couldn't, the ones that stayed here and prayed, and the ones that prayed at home. Lord, it really was a group effort all around, and we don't want to forget anybody. So God, I pray that you just continue to bless in this area. God, I pray tonight, especially for William, the excitement that he has to see people come to this church. And Lord, I believe he's excited because he loves you, and he wants people to love you the way he does. And so God, I pray that you just continue to bless and the efforts that go forth from this church into our community. We ask it in your name. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read, we ended last week in verse number 13, and we're going to pick it up again in verse number 13, and we're going to read down through the rest of the chapter. We're going to go into chapter number 7, and we're going to read down to verse number 5 as well. So follow along with me as I begin to read. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with me." Let me go back to what we talked about last week real quickly to catch you up to speed. The reason why Noah is in this position with God, and the reason why the covenant has been established between him and God, is because God found grace, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Remember, last week we dealt with a group of wicked people. Evilness had come upon the earth, and so God had to take judgment out upon the people that were committing the evil, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And so this is why Noah is in this position. And wouldn't you be glad if that was you back then, that you would have been Noah? Think about those things. So as we continue to read on in verse number 19, it says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts. Thou art not clean by two, the male and his female. Of owls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Notice again with me in verse number 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah's in this position because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here we see there are four things tonight that I would like for us to look at from God's instructions to Noah. God's given him some very plain instructions that he must follow in order for this thing to come to place. And I realize at times, and you will realize that at times too, but it seems like what God has asked Noah to do, it seems like it's the impossible. Think about what God asked Noah to do, to build an ark, something that's never been done before. Ever before in the face of the earth, there was no ark that was ever made. And so God had asked Noah to do this, and it seemed impossible. But let me tell you something, let me give you some encouragement tonight. But with God being on your side, all things are possible. All things are possible. See, sometimes we limit God when we should not limit him at all. So let's review just a little bit of last week, because that's what I like to do on occasion. So the reason for the flood is the evil nature of man upon the earth. It had happened because of the sons of God mixing with the unrighteousness of the world. That is what's taken place. I'm going to reiterate just a little bit of what Pastor said this morning in Sunday school class, because it was so important what he said. So as he said from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, let's go ahead and turn there. I'm going to try to do something different as I continue to preach. When God gives me verses, I'm going to try to not just read them, but I want us to turn to them, because I think it's important to see what God's word has to say. And sometimes it's good for us to hear it, but at the same time, it's good for us to read it. And so let's read this verse that Pastor quoted this morning. Verse number 16, verse 14. This is an important verse for us to understand. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" That's what took place last week as we begin to study Genesis chapter number 6, why the flood began to take place. There is believers with unbelievers. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" It's important for us to understand these things. We, the sons, and we, the daughters of God, are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I cannot stress that enough in this congregation tonight. We cannot be unequally yoked with them. Because here's what takes place, and I love what Pastor said this morning. It's not us that usually ends up witnessing to them, it's them usually witnessing to us. And at times we go by the wayside. That's when we begin to rebuke and we begin to become rebellious and forget about the things that we are taught as young people or adults at that point in time. So we need not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The first thing that I see that God gives to Noah is this: his ability to be attentive. His ability to be attentive. There are four things we're going to look at tonight, and the first one is attentive. The world that we now live in has changed man's attention span. It truly has. What do you mean it's changed man's attention span? Well, you and I, we have grown up in the era of television. Television has changed how man and woman are attentive. We can only stay attentive, or we can only pay attention to things, or maybe even listen to things for 10 to 15 minutes at a time. Because after 10, maybe 15 minutes at a time, what normally happens, there is a commercial break. And so that's what our minds have been programmed to do in the last 40, maybe 50 years of our lives, is we're only programmed to be pay attention for just a short span of time. It's changed in how we listen to people. It's changed in how we look at things. It's really made a mess in our society. So we think within 10 to 15 minutes that we need a commercial break. That's how we are trained. Even right now, somebody or someone has probably already checked out and already stopped paying attention to this service because the attention span is no longer there. You know, it's important for us to be attentive. It's important for us to pay attention. It's important for us to listen. I can recall on many different occasions as I was going through school, words that would come out of my teacher's mouth is, "Chad, you just need to pay attention." How true that was in my life. And because there was times where I didn't pay attention. There was times where she would begin to go over the instructions that I needed to have to understand the work problem that was right before me. But because of my lack of ability that I had at that time, I was not able to pay attention. I wasn't able to be attentive, and I wasn't listening to her during those times. I tell you what, it would have been more beneficial for me to listen and to pay attention when she was speaking to me. When the Word of God, I say this for a reason. So when the Word of God is being preached, what is more important than that? God should get our full attention when His Word is being spoken. And we need to pay attention. We not just need to pay attention, but we need to listen to His direction that He has in our life. Noah had a great ability. When God was speaking to him, he was paying attention to every single word. He didn't check out of the conversation. He didn't begin to look around at the clouds that might have been out at the time, or he didn't look at the sun, or he wasn't looking at the birds or the other animals that were there. His focus, his attention, his listening ability was upon God. And that's where you and I need to have our attention to. We need to pay attention to God when He is speaking to us. You know, God speaks to us every single day. But the problem that we have, we don't pay attention to Him. Well, I can't hear His voice. Well, there's a reason why we can't hear His voice, because we're not taking time to be attentive to Him. So when the Word of God is being spoken, when it's being preached, or even when you're reading it, pay attention. Let God speak to you. It's not the time to check out and begin to check on social media. You know, we have that problem in churches today. You know why young people, even adults, not just the young people, but adults as well. You know why they don't get something out of the service that night or that morning? It's because they've checked out, they could no longer pay attention, and they turn to their cell phones and they begin to check their social media accounts and they begin to interact with their friends instead of interacting with God Almighty. I tell you what, the Word of God is special when it's spoken. It's not only special when it's spoken, it's just special, period. And we need to pay attention to His Word. So pay attention to Him. Why is it important to be attentive? Because when God speaks, He has given us clear direction and something and it's going to be something very beneficial for us. And when it's very beneficial for us, and when God's speaking to us, it's going to change our lives. The reason why sometimes believers' lives don't get changed, because they don't listen to God. They're not paying attention to Him. They're not listening to Him when He begins to speak. So Noah here, as he's going on in his life, and as God has chosen him to do His work, God is speaking to him, and he's being attentive to Him. He's saying, "Yes, sir. If this is what you want, and this is how you want it done, then God Almighty, this is exactly how I'm going to do it. Because I don't want to mess up your plan. I want to be exactly the way that you want it to be." So he was attentive. The second thing that I see is the ability that God gave Noah was his ability to take direction. Ability to take direction. Now, I'll be honest with you. At times, I don't have that ability. Especially when somebody tells me, when I ask somebody, I need to get to this place here in the downtown area. Can you show or tell me how to get there? And as soon as they say, "Yeah, go three blocks," and as soon as you get to three blocks, you're going to hit a stop sign. Then after that stop sign, you're going to hit a set of lights. And once you hit that set of lights, you're going to hit another stop sign. You're going to take a right. Then you're going to take a left, and you're going to go to the fork in the road. I'm already lost at the first set of stop signs there. Because, one, I'm not, my attention span checked out 30 seconds in that conversation. I thought to myself, "Well, I'm just going to punch it into Garmin. Garmin will get me there." And, well, anyway, he had the ability to take direction from God. God gave him very specific plans to follow in building the ark. Let's read some of these things that God gave him back in chapter number 6. Let's read again. It says in verse number 14, "And make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and a height of it 30 cubits." You see the direction that God has given Noah and how to build the ark? He was able to be directed by God. So he had that ability to do so. He was taken direction from him from the very dimensions down to the very material that was going to be used on the ark that God had called him to build. God was very detailed in this, and Noah had the ability to follow the directions of God. I have been given directions in my life on occasions to do some certain tasks, and I have not had the ability to do so. I remember years ago, one of the cars that I had, actually it was the first car that I had, I paid $175 for it. And you'll understand why I paid $175 for it. It was a 74 Monte Carlo. It was a red car, it was a boat, one of the older ones. It didn't have a floorboard in there. You looked in there, you would have thought Fred Flintstone had the car before me. And remember, I paid $175 for it. It smoked like no other. And I'm not talking a pack of cigarettes. It smoked because it was burning oil. I remember one time that the men from the church, we went down to Arrowhead for a weekend getaway. And I decided, you know what, I got my car. I paid $175 for it. Man, I'm pretty cool. I can drive this thing. And I was kind of embarrassed a little bit. But anyway, I put a couple quarts of oil in that car and drove 20 miles to Lake Arrowhead. And I kid you not, you can see my car. Well, you couldn't see my car. You can see the smoke from my car at least 2-3 miles away. You knew where Chad was at that point in time because that car smoked like no other. Got there. It was good. We spent our time there, and I put 2 more quarts of oil to come back home. And I got tired of spending money. My dad had a suggestion for me. He says, "Chad, you need to change the gaskets, the head gasket in there." I think that's what he said. And he goes, "You need to change those things." I'm thinking to myself, I'm not a mechanic. I'm 16 years old. Dad, who do you think I am? You tell me to go chop wood, I can do that. You tell me to go take out the trash, I can do that on occasions. But you want me to do this, something I've never done before? And I remember very specifically, he told me how to do it. He gave me specific directions on what to do. And you know what? I couldn't even follow those directions. And I decided that his directions weren't very good, and so I sold the car. And I lost money on it. Paid $175 for it. But anyway, Noah was able to take direction from God. Not all of us are good at following directions. Not all of us have the ability to do so. But when God speaks and God gives you something that he wants to do in your life and in somebody else's life, he will give you the ability to follow directions that he has for you. He's given us believers very specific directions on how to live our lives. Yes, we at times will fail miserably at those things. But it doesn't mean we stop. We get back up and we keep going. We don't give up on those things. And the reason why we might fail miserably listening to the directions of God is because we might have a little bit of a rebellious attitude at that point in time. And that rebellious attitude might be, well, my ways are better than God's ways. If I would have just listened and paid attention to the advice of my parents growing up, when they say God's ways are better than your ways, you know what that would have done in my life? If I would have just listened, it would have saved me from a lot of the scars that I have that aren't visible to you. I know they're there. You don't know they're there, but they're there because I failed to pay attention when mom and dad spoke, when they gave me direction in life to follow God. And so we need to listen to him when he is speaking to us. We need to follow his directions, and we need to recognize that not our ways are not always better, but God's ways are better for us. You know, we might not understand those things, and I'll be honest with you, it's not important for us to understand. It's just, we just got to have a willing heart and give in and do the will of God because he's asked us to do those things. So I'm going to give you a few examples on God's blueprint that he's given us. We've talked just a little bit about the blueprint that God gave Noah with the ark, down to the very dimensions, to the materials, to having one window in the ark, from having one stories and two stories, and there's three stories in the ark, to how many animals that God wanted him to bring upon the ark, and to his family, directions, a blueprint that God gave them. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. And we're going to see some things that should be a blueprint in our life from God. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read down through verse number 5, probably down to verse number 9. The first blueprint that we see is trust in the Lord. So God's given us this blueprint. What are we to do? We're to trust in the Lord. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't say with most of our heart. It doesn't say with some of our heart. But it goes on and says, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Second thing we see here in verse number 6, it says, acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You see, just a little bit of God's blueprint for you and for me in our lives for him. Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to Psalms. Chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. And we'll read verse number 14 here. So it started off in Proverbs to trust in him. It ended with honor the Lord. In verse number 14, we see here the psalm from David. It says, wait on the Lord. You know, that's one of the hardest things for us to do is to wait. And the reason why it's hard for us to do is because we become so impatient. We don't have the ability at times to wait upon God. I tell you what, this verse, there's so much truth in this. Wait upon the Lord, goes on, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why does it say to be of good courage? Because it first starts off, says, wait on the Lord. Things aren't going to happen overnight. Things aren't going to happen that very second when you begin to ask for a prayer request. Things aren't going to happen when you want it to happen. And when that takes place, what happens? You and I usually become discouraged. So the psalmist David says here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Turn back to Proverbs, if you would, chapter 19. Again, these are blueprints that I believe we should be following in our lives from God. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse number 20, I'm sorry. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. We need to have godly counsel, not just any counsel. I'm not talking about going out and getting counsel from some psychiatrist out in the world. I'm talking about godly counsel. I'm talking about counsel from God Almighty Himself. Here is another blueprint for us to follow. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews, chapter number 10. And this verse will be very familiar with all of us. This is a verse that's quoted so often. But it is a blueprint for us to go by. It is a blueprint for us to have our lives guided by. But this is a blueprint that I believe that is being ignored too much in our Baptist churches today. Verse number 24, let's start off there. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We have a blueprint in life for when the church doors are opened, we should be here assembling together with one another. Think about what you might miss out on when we decide to allow other things, and I don't need to point out things because you know what they are. Believe me, I've been there and I've done those things. I can remember back years ago where I stayed home on a Sunday night on Super Bowl Sunday because I wanted to watch the Cowboys play. You know what that's done to me to this day? Forgive me, Cowboy fans, but I can care less about the Cowboys now. Honesty. Because I thought it was important to stay away from church. I thought it was important to stay away from God's children during that time to watch a stupid, silly football game, to watch men run around in tights, and to scream and holler at a referee because something didn't go their way. But it did something to me that day, which I'm glad it did because I can care less for pro sports anymore. In the last 3 years, 4 years, you can tell me someone's name now, I won't even recognize it, to be honest with you. But it says to forsake not the assembly. These are blueprints that we are to go by. God gave Noah blueprints, a plan that he needed to go by so that the completion of the ark could get done. You know, I'm not trying to harp on this, but it saddens me. Pastor said it earlier. He had no idea what direction I'm going tonight. But it saddens me to see so many empty chairs in here when that should not be the case. The last place that I wanted to be on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or even a Wednesday night is at home in my recliner chair. You think about what Thomas missed out when Jesus returned and the other disciples saw him because they were all together with one another. But Thomas wasn't with them. He missed out. He missed out on that happy, joyous reunion that Jesus had with the disciples. And Thomas, he's all by himself. He decided to stay away. We'll miss out on each other's friendship and fellowship during that time. Why do I say these things? Because these things are important to me. I enjoy seeing faces more now than I ever did before. You know, these last few weeks I've been standing out that back door with my father. You know, I've enjoyed that. As much as I cringed about doing that, as much as I was kind of mad at my father for asking me to do those things, I've enjoyed it. I'm able to have some conversations with folks that I wasn't able to have before because we're able to have that fellowship. Man, if I wasn't doing that, I'd miss out. Now I understand why he asked me to do those things. See, I'm a slow learner, but I understand those things. So God has given us a blueprint that he wants us to go by. But often these are the ones that are ignored by God's people. Noah allowed God to lead him through this great transition of life. Imagine, his whole transition, his whole life was changed because of this. Noah was on a different course. Noah was doing something totally different in his life. The ark wasn't even on his mind. A flood that was coming wasn't even on his mind. This was all foreign to him. They didn't have the rain back in the day. They didn't have the need for this. And so God helped him through this transition in his life. He was able to take direction in his life from God. Yesterday, as we walked out of here and we got in our vehicles to drive out to Underwood, it was amazing to not really plan anything, so to say, as how to do it, what to do. But as we were driving out there, and it's kind of hard to give a little bit of direction in the van when everybody's talking. I'm not the loudest of talkers. People really have to lean into me at times and say, "What are you saying? Why are you mumbling? Your lips aren't even moving, but I hear something coming from your mouth. Are you a transviloquist? Are you a dummy or what?" No, I'm just kidding. But I was amazed at what took place, because within the next 2 minutes, I just gave simple directions. And what took place after that was everybody went their own separate ways, didn't ask, "Hey, what are we doing? What's going on here?" They listened to the directions. And we all met back in a place where we said we were going to meet at. You know, the funny thing about that was a six-year-old young man was able to get those directions and understand it. Listen to God when he speaks and be willing to take direction from him. The third thing that I see that God gave Noah the ability to do was God gave Noah the ability to stay focused on what God had in plan for him. This was a great undertaking, and Noah, even through discouragement, through family quarrels, and probably being mocked at by the community at times, Noah was able to stay focused. I said earlier when I was talking about our attention and being attentive and listening, you know why that doesn't take place? Because we lose our focus in life. We lose our focus when the Word of God is being preached. We lose our focus when we might be distracted by our cell phones or even by the twirling of the fans. We lose our focus. But Noah was able to stay focused upon the plan that God had in his life. This past weekend, we started once again a visitation. It might be inconvenient at times. It might not be according to your schedule. And I'll be honest with you, it's not according to my schedule either. We might get laughed at. We might come into horrible weather conditions. You know, it was kind of funny watching everybody out there yesterday continuing to go on even though they're soaked, drenched because of the rain that wasn't in the forecast. And those weathermen get paid too much money to tell us lies. But the focus was still there. You heard me ask this morning, and I asked them, "Hey, you just want to close up the doors and go home?" No. The answer was no, because there's a focus that they all had. There's a plan of attack. There has been direction that was given. And they wanted to see this through to the very last door hanger that we had. Their focus was great. You know, it doesn't matter if it's inconvenient to us. It doesn't matter if we might get laughed at by our friends and by our peers. It doesn't matter what the conditions might be. But you and I must keep focused on winning the lost. Noah was focused upon what God had in his life. I'm sure Noah at times, think about this. He wasn't a young man when he began to build the ark. He was rather old. But I can imagine at times he became very weak. Maybe he was sick. His muscles sore and tired. Fatigued has set in. But he was focused on one thing. That one thing was completing the task that God had called him to do. See, in life, when God calls us to do something, we lose focus. Don't lose focus on what God has called you to do. the last thing, I'm not going to dwell on this too much, and that's the fourth thing, is God gave him the desire to invest. What do you mean the desire to invest? You know, Noah realistically could have said no. Noah could have said, God, the foolishness out of your mouth, it's not going with me. He could have had those reactions. But what I see here in the life of Noah, Noah had a desire to invest. What did he invest in? He invested his time to God. He invested his time to his family. See, his family depended upon him for one thing, and that was to build the ark for their safety. He was invested. Here's the sad thing that I see taking place across our world in like-minded churches like us, and that is not wanting to invest our time to the church that God has called us to serve. See, some of you might say, this doesn't really feel like home to me. And the reason why you might say that, and the reason why you might think that, is because you have yet to take the time to invest in this church. It's important to invest your time. There are many things that you can invest your time to. And it's not just to the chair that you're sitting in. There's far much more than the chair that you're sitting in. There's children that need people in their lives to be a great godly influence to them. There are things that are around this church that are being broken and are being tattered that need a repair and things of that nature. And it's not just to a group of men, it's to a group, it's to this body. It's an investment. Noah invested his time. Why can't we invest our time to the local church that God has called us to? Do you know why it's called Noah's Ark? Not once in my life have I ever referred to it as God's Ark. And I don't know if you have at all. But I've never referred to it as God's ark. Even though it was God's idea, even though it was God's decision, even though God gave this to Noah to do and to build, even though God provided everything that was needed for this ark, I've never called it God's ark. We've always referred to it as Noah's ark. And I believe the reason for this is because we see the investment that he put into it. What was his investment? It's the same investment that you and I need to have for this church. To go out into our community, to get into a van or to get into a car, to go to the east end of town, to west end of town, Underwood, Crescent, all these other communities that God has surrounded us, and is the exact same things that it took Noah, is going to take us. The first one is his time. His time. Noah invested his time. It was important. I know your time's valuable to you. My time's valuable to me. But he invested his time. There is nothing more important to him than his time to his Heavenly Father. The second thing that I see that he invested in, and I made mention of it just a few minutes ago, and that was his strength. He invested his strength. He said, Chad, I'm not a very strong person. I'm not very good at doing this and doing that. Just give what you have to God. He will give you the strength to do what you need to do. He invested his strength. The third thing that I see that he invested, and I seen it yesterday in the group that went out with us, and it's this. He invested his courage. You know, the last couple weeks as we announced this, we've asked God to give us boldness and to give us courage. You know, it's not easy to go out and knock on a door and meet a total stranger and begin to ask him, hey, would you come to church? But we counted, I think, somewhere between 15 and 18 contacts were made with our group to other people there. Not one of them shied away. He invested his courage. Well, I don't have much. God will give you the courage when you need it. The last thing that I see here that he invested in was his desire to please God. He had a desire to please God. Your home or your car, for an example, you know it's yours because you invested time into it. Now take that same concept, that same application, and apply it to God and his church. Things will change. I've never seen this before in the life of Noah. But I tell you what, I'm so grateful that I can see it because it shows me areas in my life where I fail miserably. I struggle with these things just like anybody else does. I'm no different. I struggle with my time. I struggle with giving my strength. I struggle with courage. Yeah, I can stand up here and preach this, but I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death yesterday. But God gives us the courage. And finally, we need to have a desire to please him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm just going to have a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, the altar is yours. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to a close tonight, if you've spoken to anybody here tonight, God, I pray that we'd use these next few moments to take care of the business that you want us to take care of. We ask it in your name. Amen.